Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Matthew chapter number 20, if you'll rewind in your mind about two Sundays ago or three Sunday mornings ago, I preached out of this same chapter and I preached on this thought, why stand ye here idle? And I want to pick back up on that and conclude that message this morning and give you the second part of that. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 20, verse number 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a house built, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyards. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, and you want to complain about what you're getting paid, but are you with me? For a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Now, I want to draw your attention into that statement in verse number 6, closing it out. Why stand ye here all the day idle? Now, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us this morning. God, you know the need of the service, and I pray that your will and way would be done. I pray, God, that you'd use us as we preach today. I pray, God, that you'd give us clarity of mind and clarity of speech, God. We'll give you the praise, we'll give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, I want to look into this, and let me just say this before I start. Man, please be faithful to the service tonight. We're going to continue our study on the home tonight, and I'm going to preach on this thought, if the Lord doesn't change my mind, how to have harmony in the home, having harmony in the home. So you make sure that you're here tonight, and we'll look at that. Here in Matthew chapter number 20, this passage is part of the parable known as the laborers in the vineyard. The householder here is a picture of the Lord. The laborers are a picture of his servants, and the vineyard is a picture of the world, and the Lord has a work for each of us to do. I'm reminded of what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 11 and 12. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of your sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I believe that there is a principle that can be brought out of this scripture, practically saying the same thing. The day is far spent, the night is at hand, and if we've ever done anything for the Lord, then church, I submit this to you this morning, we better get busy doing it. We can talk about the second coming of the Lord. We could take our Bible and walk through prophecy today and what is fulfilling in our country today, and see that the coming of the Lord is definitely at hand today. We could take and look at our life, and I'll say more about that here in just a minute, and how our life is so short. And you know, I'm reminded of what one preacher said, only one life will soon be passed, and all that's done for Christ is all that'll last. So why do we stand idle when there's so much to do for God? As I preached the first message, here's what I preached on. Why, when the scope is so spacious? I sure am glad that we've got a God that loves the whole world today, and the world can be saved if they'll only put their faith in Him. Why, when the servants are so scarce? Why, when the servants are so scarce? I thought about this. I've lived here beside the church for almost 15 years now, but before we lived there, we lived in East Bend. We lived there several years, and I never remember a time anybody knocking on my door and inviting me to the house of God. I never remember a time that anybody came by, knocked on our door, and said, "Why don't you go to the house of the Lord with us?" You say, "Preacher, why are we having visitation on Thursday?" Because the servants are scarce. And can I say this? The scope is spacious. I thought about that. I wonder how many people this week that we, now I said we, I'm not saying you, we, including myself, brush shoulders with that may have would have come to church today if somebody would have just invited them. So the laborers, the servants are so scarce. Why, when society is so sinful? We live in a sinful society. And then I said this, why, when the Savior is so sufficient? Can I just say this to you this morning? Whatever the need is that you have in your life today, there is a God that loves you, and there is a God that can meet that need. This world will never meet it. The bottle will never meet it. Prescription drugs will never meet it. Any kind of illegal narcotic will never meet it. But there's a God today that loves you, and a God today that'll transform your life and make you a new creature in Him. He is sufficient today. He is sufficient. Number one this morning, I want to continue that study and talk to you a little bit more about why do we stand here idle. Can I say this, number one this morning? Why, when serving is so satisfying? Now this is a simple topical thought, but stay with me. When serving is so satisfying. I am 42 years old and holding. Are you with me right there? You remember when you was young, you was 15 going on 16. Matter of fact, there was a song about that, wasn't it? But anyway, I am 15 going on 16. Y'all remember that? Come back. Or was it, I am 17 going on 18? How do you know? You watched the movie. Anyway, I'm 42 and holding. Victoria turned 9 today, and yesterday she was 8, almost 9. I'm not 42, almost 43. Brother Tim, when you get 60, they say, and I'm sure you understand this, that you're even holding stronger. But I'm 42 today, and I look back over my life, and practically half of my life, close to half of my life, I've been full-time in the ministry pretty much. Man, I am so thankful for that. Leslie and I got married when I was 21. We got married in September, and in November of that year, we surrendered to go into missions. And in January of the following year, we ended up going with Rock of Ages. And man, we've traveled, and the Lord has blessed me. And in all honesty, I've traveled to several different countries. And man, I'm so thankful for that. But I think about I think about the jobs that I had. I think about this. And I think about that. I think about the things that we do recreationally. But can I say something to you today? The thing that brings me more satisfaction than anything in this world is serving the Lord. It's serving the Lord. I want to say again to you today, when you think about a Savior that's so sufficient, serving God is where you will find satisfaction at. Here's what the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 28 and 29. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Notice the word rest is found twice in this passage. The rest given in verse 28 is that which accompanies salvation. But the rest that is found in verse 29 comes only through service. In serving Jesus, you'll find rest. I was reading a book this week, and it was on Psalms 23 is what it was on. And it was talking about how the Lord can give rest. And here's what it said. It said 80% of people today, listen to this, 80% of people today in their early 20s to their late 30s. I mean, that's supposed to be the prime of life. 80% of them suffer from sleep deficiency. They can't sleep. They can't sleep. And as I was reading that, I thought, man, what in the world? You know, let me tell you the reason a lot of people can't sleep today. They had never found rest. They had never, you know what the world's looking for today? They're looking for peace, are they not? They're looking for rest. You know, let me tell you the reason a person turns to the bottle. They're looking for something to calm their mind and to calm their nerves. Hear me and hear me well. I know somebody that can do that for you, and his name is Jesus. And I promise you, serving the Lord will be the most satisfying thing you've ever done. You say, well, I don't believe you. Try it and see. Try it and see. Why, when serving is so satisfying. I see people today, and man, I think about their life being so unsatisfying, if you just want to put it that way, Brother Josh. And you tell them about the Lord, and here is what is stated so many times. Miss Kelsey. Yeah, I didn't say Chelsea today, did I? I called her Chelsea all Sunday, last Sunday. Miss Kelsey, here's what they say. Well, you know, I'm going to get this straightened out. And I'm going to get my life straightened out here. And I'm going to get my life straightened out here. And whenever I do, then I'm going to start serving the Lord. But Brother Ramsey, they'll never get this and this and this straightened out because they don't know how to do it within themselves. But if you would just turn to the Lord... You remember the story of the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter number 9. He's on the road to Damascus to crucify and kill Christians for serving the Lord. And that great light shone down out of heaven. And he was converted and he begins preaching. And matter of fact, the reason we have the gospel in America today is because of that Macedonia call that the Apostle Paul answered. But Paul wrote a book. It's called Philippians. There's four short chapters in that book, and the main theme of that book is this word right here, joy. That's the main theme of it. Matter of fact, no less than 18 times in those four short chapters, the word joy or rejoice is mentioned. Can I tell you where Paul is sitting at when he writes that book? Paul is sitting in a prison cell. He is locked up in prison, not a prison as we know today, a whole lot different than a prison than we know today. He is locked up in prison. Why could Paul sing at the midnight hours I preached last Sunday? Why could Paul write a book talking about rejoicing in the Lord in a prison cell? Because he met a Savior that was sufficient, and he found satisfaction in serving the Lord. He found satisfaction in serving the Lord. I was reading this morning, and it's the same book that I was reading the other day, and I was reading the next chapter in it early this morning. And here's what the author was talking about. He was talking about imagine yourself lost in a jungle. So when I read that, Brother Jim, now this is just the kind of person I am when I'm reading something like that, I paused and closed my eyes. And I opened them back real quick because I got scared. But I paused and closed my eyes, and I imagined myself in a jungle. And it said somebody was leading you through the jungle, and your shoe came untied, and you stopped to tie your shoe. And whenever you stopped to tie your shoe, all your camping gear, your flashlight, your cloth, everything was on your backpack. And as you knelt down, a gentleman said, "Can I hold your backpack for you?" And he got your backpack and was holding your backpack, and you knelt down and you tied your shoe. And when you got done tying your shoe, you stood up and everybody was gone. And he said, "Here you are lost in the jungle." And he said, "You look to your left and you think, did they go that way? You look to your right and you think, did they go that way? You look in front of you and you think, did they go that way?" So you start away, and as you start that way, it runs through your mind, Brother Brian, "I wonder if they went the other way. And he said, you find yourself lost in this jungle. He said, what do you need? He said, number one, you need a person. He said, you need somebody. He said, you not only need a person, you need a person with vision. He said, you not only need a person with vision, you need a person that knows exactly where you're at and exactly what you're going through. He said, so in other words, you need a guide. He said, if just a person shows up and they're lost too, well, guess what? Now you're both lost. He said, but if a person shows up that knows exactly where you're at, exactly what you're facing, exactly what you're going through, and that person can lead you the way out, then you have found a redeemer. And he said, you know what? You may start on your way out and ask the guide, well, where is the path that we're supposed to be following? And the guide turns around to reply this, I am the path. I am the path. He said, at that moment, now you have calmed down, the anxiety is gone, the fear is gone, and everything is all right. He said, but look around again in your jungle. The sky is still eclipsed from the vegetation that's growing. You still hear the sounds that you once heard. The difference is simply this. Somebody showed up that was a guide that could get you out. And you know, in this world, when we walk out those doors today, it's still, and how many times have you ever heard the preacher say this? Be careful, it's a jungle out there. If you ever read that book, you'll find out where I got that statement. Because I've read the book several times, but think about this. When we walk outside of those doors, it's still the same jungle. It's still the same temptations. It's still the same heartaches. It's still the same heartbreak. It's still the same storms that we face. What is the difference with the saved? There is somebody that stepped in our life that understands what we're going through, because he was tempted in all fashions as we are, and there's times that we don't understand where we're going, but we're reminded that he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He is our God, and there is satisfaction in serving him. So why do we stand here this morning not sharing the good news of Christ with the world when it is so satisfying serving him? Why, when serving is so satisfying? Number two, let me move quickly. Why, when the season is so short? The season is so short. Listen to what, let me just read you a few Bible verses this morning. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white to harvest. John 9:4 said this, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The night cometh. Let me just say this to you. Christ himself was saying that. And Christ was saying, I must work the works of him that sent me. The night cometh when no man can work. Christ knew that the day was coming that he was going to Calvary. And you know what he said? I must work the works of him that sent me, for the night is coming when no man can work. And I want you to hear me this morning. The day will soon end on our life. Let me read you something else. 1 Corinthians 7:29 said this, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. Brethren, the time is short. Listen to what he said in Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the morrow may bring. Listen to what he said in James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. This weekend was tough on me. It really was. On Friday afternoon, a teenage boy showed up at my house and took Madeline to church. You say, well, at least they went to church. There's never a good place. Are you with me? When a teenage boy shows up to get your yeah, at least they did go to church. I dropped Olivia off for her high school formal at the homeschool group. I wasn't happy about it. If you've seen the pictures, you saw that. And then Friday night, Victoria had a sleepover for her 9th birthday. You said, what did you... All that happened within an hour of each other. Boy shows up, drop daughter off. Girl, baby girl, youngest girl, little baby girl, has 9th birthday party. You said, what'd you do? I went to the gym. True story. I went to the gym and I took a picture and I sent it to Miss Regina and Miss Dawn, and I said, because both of them works for my doctor, and I said, I am working on my blood pressure today. I came back home and I sat down, and after everybody went to bed, I got to thinking about life. It's really short. But Kevin, it really is. It's really short. I mean, it seems like yesterday you was a snotty-nosed brat coming in on the van. Does it not, Brother Randy? Seems like yesterday you was cutting the back out of the seats on the church van because you was a rebellious hellion. But the Lord saved you. Praise God. It's under the blood now. Did you see that when you got in there yesterday, Brother Matt? He's responsible for that. And this morning, well, he stood up and gave announcements. His wife's sitting there with him. He said, preach, what are you saying? Seems like yesterday, Hannah, that you was doing stuff with the little kids. And last night, you made the transition to college and career kids. It's still kids, okay? I don't care if you're 50, you'll be a kid, all right? And one of mine, I've always looked at you like you was the only other kid years ago. And look now, you're out of high school, you're starting in college. Preacher, what do you say? I'm saying, Brother Brian, life's really short. Let's be real. It seems like yesterday we was running around at the Great Boonville Christian Academy in Boonville. Seems like yesterday. I posted that picture of Olivia the other night, and a girl that we went to school with, Veronica Davis. I don't know if you've seen that, but she commented on that. And I told her, I said, you know, Veronica, it seems like yesterday that we was running around at the great BCA, and here I am, 42 years old. I've got one fixing to graduate high school. That book I've told some of y'all about reading on anxiety, I'm going to start reading it again. And Miss Tina, we're getting older, not old. You said, preacher, why don't you? Here's the reason I said, our life is short, church. And if we've ever done anything for the Lord, if we've ever lived our life pleasing to God, if we've ever told our family about the Lord, if we've ever reached our friends and those that we used to run around with, Brother Tim, if we've ever reached them for the Lord, we better come to the conclusion that this life right here is short. Why do we stand here when the season is so short? Why do we stand here when serving is so satisfying? Why do we stand here when Satan is so subtle? You know, when we're introduced to Satan, and I'm about right now done, but stay with me right here. When we're introduced to Satan, that's the way that we are introduced to him. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Satan blinds the sinner. Satan beguiles the saint. Satan buffets the servants. Satan has one agenda, and that is to wreck your life, to destroy your life. If you're married, to destroy your marriage. If you're a young person, to destroy the innocency of your youth. Somebody help the preacher right there. That he has one desire, and that is to absolutely destroy your life. But serving is so sufficient. The Savior is so wonderful. But Satan wants to destroy you. He'll make you think serving God's a waste of time. Satan's a mastermind at what he does. Think about this. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect environment. Perfect. 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 And Satan was smart enough to cause them to sin and mess it up for the whole world. Are you with me? Satan has one desire, and that's to destroy you. I was talking last night after the kids had got back, and or the young adults had got back, and we had kept Bree, and Lloyd and Tanya had stopped to get her, and me and Lloyd were standing in the kitchen talking. And we was talking about how the devil's desire is to destroy young people. And here's what he said, and I hope I'm not out of line in giving this illustration. If I am, there ain't many of y'all in here bigger than him, so I'm just going to try to outrun him. But here's what he said. He said, the world's lifestyle is like a vacuum cleaner. And he said it just sucks you up in it. And he said to ever break away from that, once you're sucked in it, is to break away from everything you know. It's to break away from every so-called friend you think you have. It's to break away from every Friday night of what your ideal of a good time is. It's to break away. He said it is to completely start a new life. And he said that's the reason so many young people, once they're sucked into that, has such a hard time of ever breaking back away from that. So you say, preacher, why do we have youth camp? To keep them away from the vacuum cleaner. You say, preacher, why tonight after church are you going to have hamburgers and hot dogs for the teenagers? To keep them away from the vacuum cleaner. You say, preacher, why? Why did you start a college and career ministry? To let them know on a Saturday night that they could go to a bowling alley and act like a bunch of nuts and come home and not be drunk and not be strung out and remember what they done Sunday morning when they woke up. Satan wants to destroy it, but there's a God that loves you and a God that's so sufficient and a God that will help you overcome that. Why, when Satan is so subtle, why do we not? We know what will become of their life if we don't do something. We know the road that they can go down. I know the road my kids can go down. They're not perfect. They're wicked as the devil, and they're one choice away from messing their whole life up. I know that. And that's the reason, Brother Ramsey, I know what Satan can do. That's the reason we don't sit here idle. Why? Can I show you one more? Why? When serving is so satisfying. Why? When the season is so short. Why? When Satan is so subtle. But can I say this? Why? When success is so sure. When success is so sure. Listen to what the Bible said in Isaiah 50. Miss Tanya, if you will, come start playing softly. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Listen to what he said in Psalms 126:5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. The success is sure. Brother Matt said this last night, late last night. We was talking after everybody had left, and one thing that we struggled with last night is what time to be back. And I said, well, they're young adults now. You know, you let them tell you, here's what time I need to be back. Are you with me? We never had a young adult ministry. We're trying to figure it out, but all I know is the deacon had a preacher sitting on his lap in the back seat of the van. So y'all pray, we're still trying to get this thing figured out. I told him, I said, I don't know. I said, I guess just whenever everybody wants to come back. So they came back and I called him and I said, hey, do I need to come back out to the fellowship, Paul, and help you then? And he said, no. He said, I wish we'd have had a few more. And I said, you know, Brother Matt, I said, I do too. I said, however, the group that was here, if we can keep them, if we can keep them, if that vacuum is already started, if we can close that vacuum off, Brother Aaron, if we can close that suction from the world off, Miss Vicky, if we can keep them, then it's worth every bit of it. And can I just say something to you? I got to reading my Bible this morning, and it said, they that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. And you know what I just started doing, Brother Matt? I started thanking God for letting us keep them. Because he said, if we done what this book says do, I'm just going to trust him. You say you think all of them will stay in church. I don't know, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray and beg God to keep them there. And we're going to do everything in our power. Why? Because success is sure. If there's one thing that will change your life as a young person, it's Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're here today and you're searching, you know what? People search all the time. They're searching for happiness. They're searching for the American dream. What is the American dream? And what is it? My version is this. Number one, knowing Jesus. Number two, serving Jesus. Number three, raising my family around Jesus. Number four, sitting on the front porch with a cup of coffee watching a buffalo roam. Not just anybody can say that, can they, Brother Aaron? They're searching for something. And look right here. I promise you what you're looking for is right here. It's right here. Somewhere in the pages of this book, you'll find what you're looking for. So, preacher, I'm struggling. I don't know why in the world the Lord's leading me the way he is right now. Preacher, I'm struggling with an addiction. I know we laugh about this, but the only addiction I've ever struggled with is Red Bull. I've been dry for 3 months now. You know what the answer to your addiction is this right here. One thing that I found so ironic last night, they give the kids these papers to fill out, young adults, these papers to fill out. And Miss Mandy and I was looking at them. And one thing that was common in almost every paper, there was just one or two that didn't have this. There was one word, Brother Jim, it just blowed my mind, that was common. And you know what that word was? Anybody want to take a guess? Stress. It's exactly right. Stress. And I thought, I'm just going to be honest. When I was 18, 19 years old, stress. What is, son, I was working at the food line making $4.25 an hour. Driving a 1987 Nissan truck with straight pipes on it. A fat man in the middle of the glass, and it said the heartbeat of Japan. With one 8-inch subwoofer behind the seat. I'm just going to go ahead and lay it all out listening to John Deere Green. Sitting in the plaza in Yadkinville. Ain't that right, Brother Matt? Sitting in front of the bank at the plaza in Yadkinville wondering who was going to race next. I mean, that was my biggest stress. Who is it? I will go ahead and lay the rest of it out. And if I was going to win any money off that race or not. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest, okay? I'm just being real. But kids and young people and adults, there's so much anxiety in the world today, and there's so much stress, and honestly, I didn't give a rip if you like me or not. If you didn't like my pointed toe snakeskin boots and my Copenhagen long cut, somebody say praise God for a Copenhagen long cut this morning. I've always said smoking's a sin. Anything that tastes that good, you roll it up and burn it, it is sin. Lord, we've done it. Help us today, Lord. I didn't care. But today it's different, man. Young people are blowing their brains out because somebody don't like them. Teenage girls have major eating disorders because they're afraid that they're going to gain 3 ounces. I'm being real with you today. And here's what I'm saying. When you put all that together, it makes the society that we have today. And in every addiction you have, in everything that you're facing, why do we as Christians stand here idle knowing right here is everything they need? Preacher, my life's a wreck. Well, can I go over here in the book of Luke and tell you about a man, and they called him the prodigal son. And his life was a wreck one day. Matter of fact, he was, if you want to say it in our terms, he was a millionaire that went to nothing and was living in a hog pen, eating the slop that they fed the hogs with. And here was the kicker in all of it. He came to himself. Sometimes God has to let you get in the hog pen before you come to yourself. But if you're living in the hog pen this morning, this book tells us he came to himself and he went back to the Father's house, and there was somebody standing there with arms stretched wide open. You give them the Bible. Why stand ye here idle all the day? I want to ask you a question. I'm done. I want to ask you a question. Do you know somebody today that's not saved? I just want you to think about that in your mind. I don't have to think for just a second. You know somebody today that maybe they say that they're saved, but man, they're just struggling. They're struggling. What are you doing? Are we just standing here idle? Are we just standing here knowing that we have what can help them? Why stand you here idle when two simple letters, go. You say, go where? Number one, go to an altar. And beg God to give you the words to say to him. Then go to a house. You know what? You may have to. I'm not going to go sit on a bar stool and drink a beer with somebody to try to win them to the Lord. Somebody give me an amen right there. But you know what you may have to do? You may have to kick some beer cans out of the way to get into where they're at. Say, hey, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that'll change you. Zeb and Chelsea. Chelsea's sick. That's the reason they're not here today. Zeb said, here's what he said on that video, that I love my church video. He said what we all sometimes bow up to. Just come as you are. But then he said this, but don't leave as you came. You know what? Some may walk in, looks like a tackle box is blowed up on them.
might be dressed in black from head to toe. And you know what the first thing we do is Baptists, we prototype them. Well, I bet they're here to cause trouble. No, they might be here because they're in trouble. Because they're in trouble. Why? Why do we stand out?